Tarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, The Cosmic Manifestation. Chapter 8, Questions by King Parikshit. Text number 2. Etad veditum icchami. Tatvang tatva vidang vara. Harer adbhuta viryasya. Kata loka samangala. Etad veditum icchami. Tatvang tatva vidang vara. Harer adbhuta viryasya. Kata loka sumangala. Etad veditum icchami. Tatvang tatva vidang vara. Harer adbhuta viryasya. Kata loka sumangala. Please chant. Ladies, anyone else? Etat, this. Veditum, to understand. Icchami, I wish. Tatvam, truth. Tatva vidam, of those who are well versed in the absolute truth. Vara, O best, Hare of the Lord, Adbhuta Viryasya, of the one who possesses wonderful potencies. Kata, narrations. Loka, for all planets. Sumangala, auspicious. The king said, I wish to know narrations concerning the Lord, who possesses wonderful potencies, are certainly auspicious for living beings in all planets. Purport by our founder, Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the activities of the Supreme Lord, is auspicious for all living beings residing in every planet. One who takes it as belonging to a particular sect is certainly mistaken. Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly a very dear scripture for all the devotees of the Lord, but it is auspicious even for the non-devotees also, because it explains that even the non-devotees hovering under the spell of material energy can be delivered from such clutches if they hear the narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion and attention from the right source representing the Lord by disciplic succession. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Trinadapi Sunichena Turadiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hareer Nama Hareer Nama Hareer Nama Vakibalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyaye Bacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. It's always an honor and more importantly a privilege to sit on the Vyasasan in New Dwarka. It's always very, very special. I am forever grateful that Subhas and Archita and the temple allows me this privilege. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I did a Zoom class on Sunday for devotees in New Jersey, and I was explaining that this facility to speak on Krishna Katha, this is what I live for. Everybody has a purpose for living. For the non-devotees, it's sense gratification. But those who have picked up the message of Srila Prabhupada, they know the purpose of living is to preach. That was what Bhakti Siddhanta said. One who has life can preach. A dead man cannot preach. So, when people ask me, how you doing? I'm still preaching after all these years. Oh, still preaching after all these years. I would like to share with you my homework that I did for this verse. Please allow me to read to you what I picked up from Prabhupada's books. Maharaj Parikshit addresses his spiritual master by these words, Tattva Vidang Vara, O best of those who are well versed in the absolute truth. Shukadeva Goswami is one of the 12 Mahajans or authorities on the science of God, as affirmed by Yamaraj when instructing his servants not to apprehend devotees but instead to offer respectful obeisances. In the 12th canto, Suta Goswami glorifies Shukadev in this way. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, and destroyer of all sinful reactions. Being full in self-realization and bliss, Shukadev had no material desire, and still, Shukadev was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, out of compassion for the people of this world, Shukadev described the transcendental historical literature called Srimad Bhagavatam, which is compared to the light of the Absolute Truth. And I'd like to interject here that Prabhupada's mission was to bring Srimad Bhagavatam to the Western world. It was one of his missions. So how can we ever repay the debt for what Prabhupada has done, given us Srimad Bhagavatam, given us Krishna book? We can only begin to repay by repeating his words, living his words, and distributing his words. When Lord Chaitanya was giving 61 explanations of the Atmarama Shloka, he said, "By the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami was attracted by the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And being thus attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, Shukadeva also became a devotee and engaged in Krishna's service. Harer gunakshipta matir bhagavan badarayana adyagan mahad akyanang nityang vishnu janapriya." Being very much attracted by the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, the mind of Shukadeva Goswami was agitated by Krishna consciousness. Shukadeva then began to study Srimad Bhagavatam by the grace of his father, Srila Vyasadeva. And in my case, I became agitated by Krishna consciousness after reading 6 chapters of Krishna book that one night in Columbus, Ohio. At 12 midnight, I had gotten Krishna book from Daivi Shakti Devi Dasi in Port Authority bus terminal on my way to Columbus to pursue my rock and roll career. But that one night, I was so miserable, so fried, so unhappy. So at midnight, I finished my gig, and at midnight, "Where is that book?" I pulled out Krishna book. I paid $10. That was a lot of money for me back then. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 4, 5. Finally, after Krishna killed Putana, must have been around 3 o'clock in the morning, I closed the book. I decided, I'm ending my rock and roll career. I'm joining Prabhupada's movement. Best decision. I would make it a trillion times over. No regrets. Let's continue. And so the status of Shukadeva Goswami is indisputable. Next point. The Absolute Truth, because it's mentioned, the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is defined very early in First Canto by Sutta Goswami. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the Absolute Truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Personality of Godhead. This shloka is nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, 2nd chapter of Adi Leela. Prabhupada comments there. Herein, Sutta Goswami answers the questions of the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi concerning the essence of all scriptural instructions. Tatvavida refers to persons who have knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They can certainly understand knowledge without duality because they are on the spiritual platform. The absolute truth is known sometimes as Brahman, sometimes as Paramatma, and sometimes as Bhagavan. Persons who are in knowledge of the truth know that one who tries to approach the absolute simply by mental speculation will ultimately realize impersonal Brahman. And one who tries to approach the absolute through yoga practice will be able to realize Paramatma. But one who has complete knowledge and spiritual understanding realizes the spiritual form of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. And every day here, in this most famous, beautiful temple, we are looking at the absolute truth in the form of Rukmini Dwarakadisha. We are visualizing, we are seeing, communicating, and receiving their blessings. Otherwise, why is it called Mangala Arti? At the end of today's class, we'll hear about this word, Mangala, auspicious. The next word of note in the verse today, Harer. When Lord Chaitanya was giving the 61 explanations of the Atmarama Shloka, he said, although the word Hari, everybody say, everybody say, has many different meanings, two of them are foremost. One meaning is that Krishna takes away all inauspicious things from his devotee. And the second meaning is that Krishna attracts the mind by ecstatic love for God. When the devotee somehow or other always remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead anywhere and everywhere, Lord Hari takes away life's four miserable conditions. So this reminds me, Lord Chaitanya said, remembers Krishna anywhere and everywhere. That's the mother of all instructions. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. That's what we're supposed to be living by. Always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting. So Prabhupada explains this section like this. The four miserable conditions are due to the four kinds of sinful activities known as Pataka, Urupataka, Mahapataka, and Atipataka. Namely, preliminary sin, very great sin, greater sin, and topmost sin. However, Krishna assures the devotee in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The word sarva papebhya indicates the four kinds of sinful activities. So as soon as the devotee surrenders unto Krishna's lotus feet, the devotee is certainly relieved from all sinful activities and their results. The four basic sinful activities are summarized as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Lord Chaitanya then continued to explain the purport of the word Hari. Everybody, one more time. Hey, we're fired up. Good. As all fuel is burned to ashes by a full-fledged fire, all sinful activities are totally erased when one engages in devotional service to Krishna. In this way, when all sinful activities are vanquished by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gradually vanquishes all kinds of impediments on the path of devotional service, as well as the ignorance resulting from these impediments. After this, one totally manifests his or her original love of Godhead through 9 devotional services in 9 different ways: hearing, chanting, and so forth. When the devotee is freed from all sinful material activities, Krishna attracts one's body, mind, and senses to his service. Thus, Krishna is very merciful, and Krishna's transcendental qualities are very attractive. And when one's mind, senses, and body are attracted to the transcendental qualities of Hari, one gives up the four principles of material success, namely religious performance, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Thus, I have explained the chief meanings of the word Hari. The next words in this verse that I found to be of interest, Adbhuta Viryasya, one who possesses wonderful potencies. When Lord Chaitanya was converting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from impersonalism to Vaishnavism, he explained as follows. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual, as verified by the Shastras. And there is another spiritual potency known as Kshetragya, or the living entity. The third potency, which is known as Nescience, makes the living entity godless and fills one with fruitive activity. Yaya Kshetragya Shakti Sa Veshtita Nripasarvaga Sangsara Tapan Akilan Avapnoti Atra Santatan. The Kshetragya Shakti is the living entity. Although one has the facility to live either in the material or spiritual world, the living entity suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because of being influenced by the avidya, nescience potency, which covers one's constitutional position. Tayati rohita vachcha shakti kshetragya sangyata sarvabhuteshu bhupala taratamena vartate. The living entity, covered by the influence of nescience, exists in different forms in the material condition. One is thus proportionately freed from the influence of material energy to a greater or lesser degree. Khladani sandani samvit twayeka sarva sangshraye khladatapa kari misra twayi no guna varjite. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. This means that Krishna originally has three potencies: the pleasure potency, the potency of eternality, and the potency of knowledge. Together, these are called the Chit potency, and they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. For the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, the pleasure potency in the material world is sometimes displeasing and sometimes mixed. But this is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Krishna is not under the influence of the material energy or its modes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original form, is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The spiritual potencies in these three portions, Sat, Chit, Ananda, assumes three different forms. The three portions of the spiritual potency are called Khladani, the bliss portion, Sandani, the eternity portion, and Samvit, the knowledge portion. We accept knowledge of these as full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead also appears in three phases, internal, marginal, and external. And these are all engaged in Krishna's devotional service in love. In his spiritual potency, the Supreme Lord Krishna enjoys six kinds of opulences. But you do not accept this spiritual potency. He's speaking to Sarvabhauma. He's an impersonalist. And this is due to your great impudence. For Krishna is the master of all potencies, and the living entity is the servant of them. That is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. However, you declare that the Lord and the living entities are one and the same. That is the basic principle of Mayavad philosophy, that God and the living entity are one in all respects. That's the greatest blasphemy. In Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is established as the marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhumir apanalo vayu kang mano buddhir evacha ahankara iti angme bhinna prakritir ashtadha. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are my eight separated energies. Just as a side note, whenever I come across this term false ego in my preaching, I always like to point out to the audience, notice it's called false ego, which means there must be true ego. Otherwise, there would be no need of the word false. So now we have to ask, what is true ego? And that everybody should know. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas. That is true ego. I am the eternal part and parcel servant of Krishna. The second half of that statement by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan, he says that the living entity is like a ray of sunlight emanating from Krishna, Kirana, sun ray. I love this example. I use it so often in my preaching, that the sun ray has all the qualities of the sun. Yes. So that, in one sense, we're God. Yes, we have all of God's qualities, but sun ray, not the sun. Ah, because I want to be the sun. I want to be God, Aranyakashipu. Nope, can't be. Position already taken, no applications being accepted. The position is perfectly being taken care of by Rukmini Dwarakadish. But we are tiny, insignificant, poquito pequeño, little sparks of God. Same qualities, but pipsqueak. Fragmental. In Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Prabhupada emphasizes that in the purport. Always fragmental. 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. And I walk around like I'm something important when I'm only 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Lord Chaitanya continues his preaching to Sarvabhauma. Aparayamitastvanyang prakritin vidime param jivabhutang mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. Besides these inferior energies, which are material, there is another energy, a spiritual energy. And this is the living being, O mighty armed Arjuna. The entire material world is sustained by the living entities. The transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete in eternity, cognizance, and bliss. However, you describe this transcendental form as a product of material goodness. Yes, that is another great blasphemy of the Mayavadis. They say, yes, when God comes, He accepts a material body in the mode of goodness. That's not what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But that is the bogus philosophy of Shankaracharya. That's where it came from. He preached that. That when God comes, He takes on a material body in the mode of goodness. No, Krishna says clearly, more than once in Bhagavad Gita, I'm transcendental. I'm above the modes. I am unborn, eternal. That's why in chapter 4, Krishna told Arjuna, you and I have had so many births, but since I don't change my original form, I remember all my so-called births. You, Arjuna, you don't remember. That is the difference between us and God. God, and same the night of Janmashtami, when Krishna appeared as Narayan to Vasudeva and Devaki, He told them, this is the third time I'm appearing as your son. They didn't remember. He told them, previously you were Sutapa and Prishni. I was your son, Prishni Garba. And after that you were Aditi and Kashyapa. And I was your son, Vamana. Now I'm again appearing for the third time as your son. And I'm appearing like this, otherwise you wouldn't know what's going on. That's why He didn't appear first as baby Krishna. He appeared first as Narayan. Just to convince them, yes, this is the third, and this is your last birth. Wouldn't you love that if you had a dream tonight and Krishna in your dream said, guess what? This is your last birth. How would you feel? I would scream, Haribol! I don't care where I was. I would immediately jump for joy. Okay. So finally, in this verse, Sumangala. So Sumangala means auspicious. Technically, when you add this prefix, Su, so the word Mangala is already auspicious. So when it's Sumangala, it means even more auspicious. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Susukam. So Sukam means happiness. Susukam means really happiness. Easy, great. Su. Just like on our altar. Subhadra. Bhadra is another word for auspicious. So she's Subhadra. Most auspicious. That's why she's on our altar. That's why she's the ninth child of Vasudeva and Devaki. I get this question all the time. Prabhuji, who is Subhadra's parents? I said it's stated clearly in Bhagavatam. Not just directly in a verse. She's the ninth child of Vasudeva and Devaki. It's right there. Still people question. No, it's right there. Here's the verse. Here's the Sanskrit. Here's the translation. She's the ninth child of Vasudeva and Devaki. Take it or leave it. All right, so let's finish up. Sumangala, auspicious. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice definition of the word mangala, auspicious. You guys are going to love this. When I found this quote, I became very happy. The word mangala, auspicious, in this verse, is very significant. Here it is. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes that to do what is good and to reject what is not good is called mangala or auspicious. And that's basically what we're doing at every moment as devotees. We're always trying to do the right thing, the good thing, the Krishna thing, and not do the Maya thing. Because that struggle is always there. Maya is always chirping. So we have to reject the Maya thing and always do the good thing. To do what is good means to accept everything favorable to the discharge of devotional service, and to reject what is not good means to reject everything not favorable for the discharging of devotional service. That we, of course, learn from Nectar of Devotion. And Nectar of Devotion, of course, is based on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami. Now comes, when I read this part of the purport, I immediately thought of New Dwarka. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we accept this principle by rejecting four prohibited items, namely illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling, and flesh eating, which, if you check back, you made those vows the day you got initiated. Most likely you all remember where you were when you made those vows. I was in Brooklyn Temple, April 23rd or 24th of 1974. I remember taking those vows. Your name will be Nirantara Dasa Haribo. As well as accepting the daily chanting of at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let's all do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And daily meditation 3 times a day by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. In this way, one can keep one's Brahminical culture and spiritual strength intact. By following these principles of devotional service strictly, chanting 24 hours a day the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One makes positive progress in spiritual life and ultimately becomes completely fit to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So when we come every morning and we look at Rukmini Dwarkadish, we are practicing for that day when you will actually see Radha and Krishna. That's why we get up and chant. Because with each mantra, with each kirtan, you're getting one step closer to seeing the Lord of the heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this ecstasy. Could we give the microphone to Suhas Prabhu? He can make some comments to start the Ishtagosti.
Jai. Sorry, Hare Krishna, Narantra Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Very informative. One thing that really struck me about the purport, which is I thought you explained very nicely, but just on the principle of saying a couple of things about it, is that Prabhupada in the purport says that the living entities are living in this material world and they're hovering under the spell of material energy. And he says they can be delivered from such clutches if they hear the narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion and attention from the right source. So I thought you explained that very thoroughly, but it just struck me how powerful that is in terms of our daily life. How important it is in our life to every day hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class so that we can actually speak from the Bhagavatam. And it says here that if we do this with attention and devotion, and if we hear it from the right source, it can deliver the conditioned soul. So it was Prabhupada's magnificent strategic plan to have this Bhagavatam class so that we can hear it. And so after we hear it, then we can give it. And as you said, this is a preaching movement. You're a preacher. So it's so important for us to hear this Bhagavatam every day.
Jai.
Bhagavatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Thank you very much.
Haribo. Anyone else want to contribute? Well then, please. Let's churn the spiritual ocean.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Actually, you said plenty and you said enough, but I just want to add something because I think I'm smart. So the point I'd like to make is that why the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is like soap. It's like wash. It's washing the soul of all of the impurities which are impacted upon it. That wash is absolutely necessary if we want to know God, realize God, feel God, see God, and experience God. So the washing is important. Without the wash, we stay dirty and we stay in illusion and we stay full of ignorance. That's all.
Jai. Yes, Mataji would like to speak.
Hare Krishna, Narayan Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. And you were mentioning about Sumangala and the importance of Mangalarti. And I would just like to express my personal point of view that, you know, in the morning, Krishna just woke up and Krishna is a fantastic musician. And he would really appreciate some... I think that he would appreciate to hear very sweet Mangalarti. And sometimes I must admit that I cannot actually come into the temple because the sound is just too much, especially cartels. Because cartels actually have to be hit at a specific angle to get a pleasant sound. Otherwise, they give a rather discordant and jarring, unpleasant sound to the ear. And I think maybe some of the more senior devotees may be a little deaf, maybe from having this for many years. But I'm sure that Krishna, he would really appreciate if everyone could please practice these instruments and refine their talents and do it as an offering to the deity so that all of us can come and open our ears, open our hearts and truly relish and not just try to relish or try to tolerate the offerings of others. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Are we fired up? I hope so. Thank you very much. As I said, it's the greatest privilege to come here in my home away from home, New Dwarka. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Thank you. If you just repeat Prabhupada, how can you go wrong?
That's essential. How did you write? How does it sound? How's everything?
I'm still alive. I'm still preaching, so...